Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hello and welcome to Man on the Post Weekend Review. My name is Dave. Tonight I'm joined by two guests. First and foremost, he's what I go to school for. It's Chris Cook.
Hello. I never know what's coming.
Well, how are you? You good?
I'm good, yeah. You?
Yeah, very well, thank you.
Excellent, excellent.
And my other guest asked me to dance at the disco, but said no. It's Carl.
That was very good. Yeah, I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm on top of the world, looking down on creation. Cock a hoop, aye. Football's back, and that is very much depending on who you follow. I had a lovely 20 minutes on Saturday. Which I guess we'll go straight into because that is chronologically the first game of the weekend. Carl, I know you said you saw this game. I'll let you have first crack at it because, I mean, people are going to know what I'm going to say. It was really good in the end. But what did you make of it? I should say everyone else. It was Newcastle 4, West Ham 3, if you're a fan of scorelines.
If you're a fan of the facts. No, it was an entertaining game. It was the result I actually thought would happen. Obviously, I didn't know it would be this score. I just can't like Mikel Antonio. He's just got one of them faces. He's an absolute idiot. I thought Newcastle were poor. Up until about when did Barnes score? The 83rd minute, to be honest. No, in all seriousness, I thought Newcastle probably deserved it. Just that Kudus was causing you all kinds of problems. But to be fair, he'll cause most people problems because he's a very good player. The keeper going off was highly amusing. On half time, Calvin Phillips coming on. Was Newcastle's best player.
I think he's our best January signing, to be honest.
Harvey Barnes, was it his first or his second? Really nicely hit. Just outside the box, was that his first?
No, that was the winner in injury time.
That was the winner, sorry, yeah. Very, very good hit. One thing I will say, Kurt Zouma.
You shouldn't be getting ruled by Anthony Gordon, that massive target man. Like, that just shouldn't happen, I wouldn't have thought.
No, and to be fair to Anthony Gordon, you know how much I love that fella. Not. played really well. Did he deserve to get sent off? Who gives a fuck? He doesn't play against us. But no, it was an entertaining game, and it was I thought Barnes was on it more than he normally is. He's actually done what he does and just scores. I don't know what team you're going to play against us tomorrow, which is going to be highly amusing also, but to be fair, we'll go into this, but you could play your under-18s and beat us, so I wouldn't be too concerned. But yeah, it was a good game, very good game. Probably the right result, and watching David Moyes get a Buchan was even funnier as well.
Yeah, I mean, we could probably do an entire podcast based on this match alone. Like, there's a lot to unpack. I mean, you mentioned Moyes getting booked. Eddie Howe got booked for celebrating, which I find incredible, given some of the other managers this season who have not been booked for celebrating. But if you can't celebrate a 90, whatever minute it was, goal to go 4-3 up from 3-1 down, I mean, it's probably worth it.
You're not allowed, Dave. You haven't won anything.
You're not. Oh, this is true.
You're not allowed to celebrate.
I know. I don't know. I don't know where we get off doing things like that. I think the first half was actually relatively even. it was a lot of like sort of maybe half chances. Like obviously Bruno hit the bar for us. Gordon had that header, went wide. But West Ham looked very good on the break, which by all accounts they have been all season, especially away from home, which I don't really associate with West Ham, but that's where they are.
I know you say West Ham looked good on the break, right? But I think it was for when it was still 0-0. It was just after Bruno hit the bar. You lot just stood still.
Well, we're good at that as well. We're not brilliant at.
Could have had that run, and like Bruno looked like he'd hit the post and rebooted at the same time.
Well, that's it. There's not a lot of.
Yeah, it was really strange.
There's very few recovery runs take place in our team. Once it's past us, it's past us, and that's the end of that. You saw on the Bowen goal where Anthony Gordon, I guess, is meant to track people from a corner when we don't get the first contact, and he stood and watched until it was too late, which is a harsh criticism on because, as Carl alluded to, like he was incredible at this match. Came away with 3 assists and a red card. But I think he looks like an England player now, if that makes sense. Like he's playing with that confidence of a player who's just at the absolute top of his game. And it's a shame, obviously, he's going to miss tomorrow night, but it's also maybe not the worst thing that he gets a bit of a rest because he's been carrying stuff for weeks anyway. What did you make of the Kudus goal just on half-time where... He gets fouled by Cher, no arguments there, but he flails an arm into Cher's face. Cher's lying on the floor with a head injury, and the ref just ignores that and says, just play on, it's fine.
Head injury is a bit extreme.
Well, it is, Chris. It is, but unless that ref has got some sort of medical qualification, he can't know that.
He can't know that somebody's finger flicking your forehead isn't a serious injury.
Well, no, he can know that, but... How many times in a match do you see a player with a head injury, even when the play's going on and the ref stops the game?
Not many if you're an Everton fan.
There's always one in there.
What's the old saying? Play to the whistle or something like that?
Well,
it's a goal for me, sorry.
Well, that's fair enough, but I just think... And if you watch any Premier League game, there's a player lying on the floor with a head injury, especially when the play's stopped already. They'll almost certainly stop the play and let the physios come on. And it probably happened.
My statement stands.
Not if you haven't.
Did Bournemouth score a goal? I can't remember who it was who scored the goal past us. Tarkowski was on the floor with his head in his hands and he just played on and he scored. So, piss off.
I'm judging by reaction that you weren't very happy about that, and you know two wrongs don't make a right.
Well,
so you kind of agreed with my argument here by saying it's happened to you and it was wrong then, it's wrong now. So thanks, Carl.
I say goal.
Well, I mean it's happened now, well. And I mean the thing is, like, I actually agree with you. Like, he obviously wasn't injured in the head, but it's just there's no consistency in these things. Like,
that's what I was alluding to, obviously.
Yeah.
I remember when they bought that this ruling, because there's a rule, isn't there, where a team can decide whether to take a quick free kick or actually have the game stop and take a proper, like the game normally would, where a free kick is taken, but they can continue to keep the momentum going and take a short free kick. There were a lot of questions asked at the time about, well, a player's all just stay down to stop that from happening. And it was said then that referees wouldn't tolerate that behaviour. If they believed the player was not genuinely injured, they wouldn't allow a team to reset as such. But yeah, the consistency thing is a thing, because I've seen in our games plenty of times where we've tried to take quick free kicks and mm-hmm. roll back.
Yeah.
It isn't. I can get why it's annoying, but I didn't see any problem with what West Ham did. I thought if Liverpool did it, Sky Sports would be saying how clever it was for years.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, my cynical mind says that if this happens against one of the big six next week, the player will be stopped, and that'll be that.
Yeah, I agree.
Anyway, luckily, it didn't matter in the end. As you say, Newcastle's defending was poor at best for certainly the third goal. I mean, the second goal, obviously, as we've said there, the centre-half was lying on the floor, 30 yards from goal, so kind of forgive that to a degree, but the goal straight at half time from the corner. You can't defend like that. You can't. You just can't. It's terrible. Absolutely amateurish stuff. But we got away with it. And as I say, we used three subs due to injury, with Lascelles suffering an ACL to go alongside Botman's ACL. So that's both, well, two of our centre halves out for 9 months, which is tremendous. Livramento has got an ankle, and probably, I mean, it didn't look nice, but I don't think it'll be too long term. And Almiron has a month, they seem to think. So never rains but a pause on the injury front for us.
12 players it is now, isn't it?
Something like that. I mean,
never seen it before. 12 players.
Yeah, I mean, you know, everyone gets injuries, but this is getting absurd now because they're not just little injuries. We're missing players for months at a time. It's weird.
Almiron was only on the pitch for 10 minutes.
Yeah, he actually, for once, looked quite lively in terms of, you know, he set up a couple of chances in the time he was on. Some horrific finishing from us, by the way, during this game. But luckily, not from Harvey Barnes, who... he's like the opposite of Saint-Maximin. Like, he's all output. Like, he's not going to beat a man on the outside and, you know, do tricks and whatever else. He's just pure output, which is nice. But he's also been injured for pretty much his entire time with us. So it's nice to actually have him on the pitch. But had we lost this, I think a lot of people would have sort of started to turn their attention next season as it is. This win, coupled with some other results going our way, puts us back in the mix for the European places. So... Definitely. Hopefully we can keep up that momentum. Although, as you mentioned, Carl, I'm actually playing left wing tomorrow night for Newcastle. So
you're up against Seamus Coleman. So I
do fancy my chances, but
yes,
that's a good segue though into our second game, which is Bournemouth 2, Everton 1. Bournemouth led through Solanke. It looked like Everton snatched a point through Beto before Seamus Coleman chested the ball past his own goalkeeper. I don't know if you blame anyone other than Coleman for this. Take it away, Carl. What happened? Not just in the last minute, but in general.
We're just fucking shit, aren't we? it's embarrassing. I've got nothing. If this was any other season, he's gone. And I'm fully on that train now. I think he's horrendous. I've said this since he took over. I've never liked him. I think the football he's playing is so... It's not even negative anymore. It's just crap. I mean, he's hamstrung slightly with the players, but some of the players he continuously picks, I'm just like, what the frig are you watching? Jack Harrison, still. How's he still getting football games? He's fucking useless. I mean... I just don't get it. You can literally play horrendous, and then it's all right because Ashley Young's on the bench, which I totally get. So he takes him off and put Ashley Young on. I mean, what are you doing? Just like go for, you're 1-0 down. And let's call the spade a spade. Bournemouth are fucking useless. I mean, just have a bit of brain about you. Take Harrison off and put a striker on. But no, what he does that in the 79th minute when we're still chasing the game. He takes Onana off, a better midfielder, and puts a striker on. It's just, it's worryingly terrible. Solanke scoring past us was bad enough.
He scored past a lot of people this season, to be fair to young Dom.
I still maintain he's crap.
Well... I mean,
I wouldn't mind him at us.
I was going to say, like, I'd probably have him. That's how bad it's got. But I don't know.
I think,
discussion for another day, probably. But I think he's better than he was, put that way.
All right, we'll go with that. but we were lucky with our goal. Like I said a couple of weeks ago, that Neto is, bad. Just before, I've got one slight positive, but obviously it's a negative. That's a pen on Calvert-Lewin.
Yes. Yes, I agree with that, yeah.
But why wasn't it looked at?
It must have been. She really looked at, just not for very long. But I get your point, though. Why, like...
kicked him on the floor.
I mean, we didn't talk about the pen Gordon got for us, but, like, this took a while to decide on that. And again, like, obviously, from my point of view, I think that's a pen because it's no loss and you've got to wait for the player to clear it. Like, Phillips took an age to do so.
But Garnacho got a pen. And I said, because I covered the Everton United game and was last on this, and I said, both the pens we gave away were Stonewall pens.
Mm.
Garnacho and Tarkowski, it was exactly the same.
Yes.
So he goes one side, goes the other side, Tarkowski boots him, he hits the floor, it's a pen. Calvert-Lewin takes it past him, so he kicks him, hits the floor, pen. No, it's Everton.
Yeah,
let them die.
I don't understand why, as you say, like it was looked at. Why it wasn't looked at for very long? Because they seem to pick and choose these games where they do like a deep dive into how things could or could not be a foul, and then other games it's like, well, just get on with the show. Like,
yeah, well, it's. I mean, you try not to say, "Oh, it's corrupt," but you just like something's amiss. Something's definitely amiss. Would it have made a difference? I really don't know. The Seamus Coleman own goal. It's just a comedy of errors, isn't it? Can you blame Pickford? Probably. But I don't know what Coleman's actually trying to do.
Well, I mean...
There's no pressure on him.
Presumably he has eyes and can see Pickford isn't where he thinks he is. Like...
But no one's even close to Seamus Coleman, if you look at it again. The ball comes over. Why doesn't he just leave it? Or someone shout, keepers, you know, like the keeper. it just stinks of where we're at the minute, if that makes sense. It's getting desperate now. If we get points taken off us, we're gone. Again, sorry.
So what's the latest on that? Is that still expected to be right at the end of the season, or is it?
So the hearing was last week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So it's been concluded whatever we've gave or evidence we've gave or they've asked, you know, that's been done. Hopefully we've done with our cap in our hand and went, please don't do this to us again. I'm still of the impression that we shouldn't have got 6 points because Forrest have just got four. Are they just going to go, all right, fair enough. You've had six. Four are suspended or, I don't know, two are suspended, I don't know. But if you follow Everton Twitter, which you probably don't. I mean, if you want to laugh, do it. we just recorded another loss for last year of 88 million.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about this as well.
That might not be that we're fucked again. Because stadium and player sales aren't offset and stuff like that. But it's just getting to the point where forget about points deductions. Forget about all this. Sean Dyche hasn't won a Premier League football match since December the 16th. It's April the 1st. I mean, is he in a job because, one, there's no one there to sack him? Or, two, there's no money to sack him? If either of them are true, or if both are true, we're in a sad, sad, sad state of affairs. If we don't go down this year, but I genuinely do think we will, I don't even think we'll get a win next year. We're awful. It's just like pulling teeth. The things he's trying is just not working. Get the ball pumping up. It's scary how bad we are. And like I said, the personnel he keeps on playing is just not working. Ben Godfrey is just the most bipolar player I've ever seen in my life. How can a defender not head the ball?
He's got England caps.
I genuinely don't know, but he just lets the ball go over his head. I mean, Isaac's playing well at the minute. Him against Coleman or Godfrey. Fucking hell. Jesus Christ. He's going to run rings around them. Like I said before, you could play your second, third, fourth string. You'd hammer us. We're crap. We've got nothing about us at all. I'd be surprised if we've got Burnley on Saturday, who shockingly enough have decided to give this winning a go. Don't be surprised if Burnley rock up a Goodison and beat us. And then you start worrying, like, even more so. Because I'm already done. We're getting relegated and we're shit.
So yeah, I can only see being relegated if you get another points deduction. I don't think Luton, obviously they're not winning many games. They're playing reasonably well, but they're not winning.
Saving grace. No one down there is winning, are they, really?
No. Chris, you've not had much to say on this. What's your take on the plight of Everton?
I didn't realise it had been that long since they'd won a game, to be fair. I know there's been a downturn in results, and from the highlights in this one, they looked poor. I think I watched a game the other week when Calvert-Lewin, he hasn't scored for quite a while either, has he?
Like 22 games or something.
Yeah. Absolutely, it's absolutely insane, and you know, I don't know what's going to happen with the point situation again. But if they get another point deduction, it could be pretty bad for them, couldn't it? I think it's just really lucky at the moment that there's other teams in the league who are also pretty shit. it's really strange. Like there's loads of teams that. Watching match of the day this weekend was the first. Like I don't know if it's just there's been an international break or whatever. Half of the games I watch were really shit.
The standard, I keep on going back to this, the standard of the Premier League is fucking dreadful.
Don't get me wrong, we'll talk about the games near the top at some stage, but yeah, some of the games, like some of the play in some of them was rubbish. I say that the Newcastle game, when Kudus ran through, the way Newcastle stood still, I reckon I could have made that run. I probably need a defibrillator at the end of it, but there was very little going on at the end. I don't know if it's just how it looks on TV. But Everton are in a lot of trouble. And, you know, the Sean Dyche ring, I agree with him. I don't think he's that great. He did some good things with a very, you know, with limited resources at Burnley. And maybe that's what Everton thought they were going to get out of him, but... It just hasn't worked, has it? But you know, I don't think anything's going to change this season.
I think you
said in the group chat or on here a couple of weeks ago, like this could be an opportunity for the club to just completely reboot. You know, go down, start again. You know, but
no,
you know,
I said fold.
It's
worked for other clubs, hasn't it?
But, well, I was going to say, it's an interesting point. Like, Carl, how would you feel about if you did like a Rangers-type scenario where you basically start again, but, you know, keep the history and the name, etc., but have to start from, you know, like a League Two or something? Like, I'm not just saying this. I'm just saying this willy-nilly because there was some comments. But you might. There were some comments in the... after the financial results came out, as you mentioned earlier, where liquidation is like a real possibility if this takeover doesn't go through, possibly even if it does, who knows with them. And obviously, if people start to compare it then to Rangers, I mean, I suppose the downside is you will have to have Ali McCoy as a manager for a few years, but I mean, they came through.
We'd
in the end.
Really, wouldn't we?
Actually, yes, probably.
I don't think we'd ever see something like that happen to a Premier League club, though.
Oh, stick around, mate.
See, I tend to agree with you, Chris, but like it's getting to the point now where they're starting to deduct points from these, obviously, you know, teams who are in bother. And we talked about this again a few months ago where like it seems like the worms turn a bit on these Man City charges where like it seems almost accepted in some quarters that they're going to get punished this time. And if they punish them, then I mean, Pandora's box is open because they're like, you know, obviously the champions of everything at the minute. If they can get the punishment, then I don't know where it would stop, short of changing the rules, of course.
Yeah, and that's another thing as well. I mean, personally, it'd be catastrophic if we went down. But I think if we went down, the inevitable will probably happen. I think we possibly do a Portsmouth, a Luton, whatever, and just tumble down the leagues, because you said yourself that the club's in fucking financial ruin. And this is worse than when, like, Ken Wright was in charge. This is worse, you know what I mean? When we had to sell Rooney to stay afloat, and then we stayed afloat. There's like, it sounds like there's nothing that can save us at the minute. This 777, Machedi said they were taking us over in December. Again, it's April. There's obviously a reason why the Premier League are like, hang on a sec.
Well, haven't the Premier League have said it's all, they believe they're fine?
I think someone's been playing an April Fool on you there, mate.
I was going to say, I swear I saw something in the news saying, I think it was only rumoured, but apparently the Premier League couldn't find any reason for it not to go through.
Sorry, go on.
Yeah.
But I think there's been questions on whether they've actually got the money they say they have.
Yeah, I think that was it. They said, like, well, it's fine, but, like, where's the money? And they're like, yeah, sure. One sec. haven't got back the phone yet, so...
Yeah, exactly. But they're actually funding us at the minute. They're actually paying our wages and stuff.
All right.
So they're basically loaning us money until Inverted Commas this season.
Oh, my God. It's just
wild, isn't
it's
it?
Just building shit on shit, isn't it? Like, what can possibly go wrong?
And this is what I mean, and I don't know. I'm at a complete loss. I'm obviously going to watch them on it. I'm probably going to switch my phone off, so don't bother texting me.
I won't.
I think if Newcastle batter us, like batter us, maybe people will start going, for fuck's sake, are these mad? If Dyche doesn't win tomorrow, by the way, that'll be the longest winless run of 13 games. Mike Walker done 12. Here we go.
Something to look forward to, isn't it? Well,
when you put like six past those, yeah?
Well, I mean, I think it'll be the total opposite of our game on Saturday, in the sense that we aren't going to have the legs to play like that. Like, it's just not going to happen with 3 days recovery with half a squad anyway. It's just not going to...
Three days recovery with our squad.
Well, I don't think it'll be a pretty game, put it that way, but we'll see. Let's move to some other games. Chelsea 2, Burnley 2. Obviously, an awful result for Chelsea on the face of it, when you consider that Burnley had 10 men for 50 minutes. Chelsea led twice and got pegged back twice. Chris, how long has Pochettino got left in this gig?
Hopefully ages. I don't think Burnley should have been down to 10 men at all. I think this was one of the most ridiculous decisions of in a weekend full of some bad decisions.
Like, honestly, what is that pen?
Like, that doesn't get given in 9 out of 10 games at the moment. Like,
it's scandalous.
Ridiculous. And the fact he got sent off for it.
Second yellow, I think, wasn't it? But either way,
yeah, like, second yellow.
It's still so scandalous, as Mystique would say.
I really don't know with Chelsea. Like, absolutely, they were back a few weeks ago. Poch was going to turn it all around, he just looks clueless.
He does, doesn't he? Like, I really feel like the worms turned from.
Yeah, I think so as well.
They haven't got that many injuries now. Most of their players who were out are back now. Obviously they've still got a couple, but you can tell that players are already looking like they're out. Like, there's going to be a fire sale at the end of the season, because, you know, Chelsea are suddenly worried about FFP, and you can tell players are just like, yeah, well, either we're not going to be here next season, or he's not going to be here next season.
Yeah.
So what's the point?
It's annoying them, because they'll be able to sell probably 10 to 15 players who we've either never heard of or have never played many games for like 15 to 20 million a pop. Like, Ian Matson is on loan at Borussia Dortmund. Now, I don't know how that's happened, right? Because he's okay.
He's good,
right? Well, he's all right. But he's played, what, maybe 5 games at Chelsea and a load on loan at Burnley last season, whatever else. And they're going to fetch like £30 million from him or something. It's mad.
I thought it was really strange when they were, as the same thing happened in the summer, is Todd Bowley was out negotiating to sell some players in the summer. He wasn't negotiating with a club. He was negotiating with the Saudi Arabian state.
Yeah, and he managed to sell three over the hill players for £30 million a go or something like.
And the same thing will happen in the summer because that's what he apparently was over there a couple of weeks ago negotiating player sales.
Raheem Sterling must have his bags packed for Saudi Arabian money by now.
Gotta be.
You know, Kepa. You know, Real Madrid have said they're not keeping him. He'll go. Apparently, clubs are just queuing up for their players now. You know, I imagine Mudrick should have a great time playing in the Saudi League. But yeah, I'd have to think where they'd be if it wasn't for Cole Palmer.
Oh, he's so far ahead of the rest of their squad. It's unbelievable. Like, he has had a great season. He looks. I wouldn't say unplayable at times, but he's so confident and so good. You know, anywhere 25, 30 yards onwards from goal, he is very good. And you just wonder, like, if they finish outside the European places, surely someone better is going to come and take him. I know it'll cost a fortune, but, like, he's a fortune worth paying for.
I think so.
He was one of their cheaper signings as well, wasn't he?
Well, if I was Man City and I had a buyback clause, I'd be using it.
Yeah.
But whether they do or not, I don't know.
That Chelsea team, I mean, I'm looking at the starting 11. Fucking bang average, innit?
Yeah, but it's one of those where, like, on paper, once upon a time, you probably would have thought, you know, that's decent.
That midfield is £200 million.
Like, well, exactly. Like, the price of some of these guys. Like, I mean, Enzo Fernandez.
Pence for
I've never got Enzo Fernandez, like, the whole time he's been in England.
No,
I don't know. They seem to start playing him as, like, almost like a 10 when he, you know, was signed as a defensive midfielder, but that kind of sums it up, doesn't it? Like, they don't really know what they've got. They've just got a load of players who cost a fortune. And, like, obviously, Cucurella is a great example of someone who cost, what? £60 million or something, was it? And he's just like Mr. Average left back, and that's been kind to him. Caicedo, good for Brighton, absolutely shite for these. Like, another waste of money. Conor Gallagher.
Something when Conor Gallagher is the best in that midfield.
Well, that's it. Like, with him,
he's
was
the
like
only
that.
One you actually see in the game.
He's like,
no, I don't see it with him either. I think he's terrible.
I don't think he's that good. But at least when you're watching a Chelsea game, you notice him.
He's the captain for
Chelsea games this season. They've got Enzo Fernandez, who's this £105 million midfielder, the best midfielder in the world, apparently. You'd never notice it. After he stopped dyeing his hair blonde, you never don't notice he's playing.
I'd rather have that but him, Sander Berg, who plays with Burnley.
it's absolutely mad. Like, I mean, Gusto, the right back, I quite like. He can't defend particularly well, but he's not bad going forwards.
The other two are a gang of dogs.
No, I mean,
Zassi or whatever he's.
Zassi scored the best own goal of all time in the FA Cup. Very much. Badia Shiel from Monaco, like, again, very highly rated. Comes to England, pile of shit. Like, what's the point?
It's all right when he first came in.
But... Yeah, but, you know, then the rhythm gets you, doesn't it? So. Petrovic, the keeper, like, again, played around for a few games. And then here, Chris Packard-Hans, like...
Oh, he's terrible.
Aye, how are these things happen? Like, it's like, oh, well, it's him or Sanchez from Brighton. It's like, ah, right, Christ. Bring back Kepa, will you?
Kepa's probably better than them, to be fair.
Yeah. That's the thing, though. If they don't do some kind of dodgy dealings, which we know they're going to do, where are these players going to go? How are they going to recoup their money? Like, if they put Mudrick up for sale now, right, I could probably see... club's taking a chance on him for a couple, like, £20 million at the most.
Yeah.
Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I'd probably take him at the Emirates for £20 million. Like, because
why?
You know, Arteta's obviously.
Why?
Is this going to be a thing that all these players leave and go off to have decent careers? Because they can't all be this shit. Surely.
No, what is it? Like, there must be. You know, like we all said, like Caicedo was pretty decent for Brighton. But he just hasn't been able to show that here. And, you know, the question is why? Like, is it the manager? Is it that they just were in purple patches? Like as Chris says, like they can't all be in purple patches and every crap. Like it's just mad, isn't it?
But I mean, like Chris says, where the hell are these? Let's forget on Saudi for a minute. Where the hell are these players going?
Yeah, who's gonna give you like your 50 million back for Nicholas Jackson?
Oh, God.
Nobody, like.
My mate maintains he's good. I think he's terrible.
I think he's probably young enough where they can say, well, you know, he's got some plus points we can work with, but like he's not ready to be like the leading striker for a club of Chelsea's supposed size. But then again, you know, I think Nkunku was probably supposed to be that, but he's been made of crisps all season. So
I was listening to something the other week though, and they were saying that they reckon that Chelsea could have a really negative impact on the transfer window, because obviously there's going to be a lot of caution this season with the FFP. Is going to be very like, well, not the FFP, the whatever PSR. PSR rules and everything. So that's going to be up in the air and everything. And although there is talk that they will actually change those rules far too late, unfortunately. And I think that would just set like obviously that would set like Carl off and Forest fans off if they did actually change the rule after going through all these bollocks. But they reckon that. A lot of clubs are just going to literally sit and do no transfer activity, knowing that Chelsea have to sell players. So they're literally just going to sit there and try and pick off ones that, like players that they think they could get something on. You know, because there's going to be takers for at very low prices. There will be takers for your Cucurellas, and because they have got a young squad. It's just they're not going to make their money back. And are they going to get to a stage where they are that desperate? Where it's just like they'll sell everyone, and you can see it with Bowley because he doesn't seem to know anything about the game. I reckon it'll just get to a sound where you'll just accept whatever we can get for anybody.
Yeah, yep, exactly that.
So all these players then will end up at other clubs for peanuts, and Chelsea will be fucked. It could be ridiculous, but then again, yeah, and that could halt the entire Premier League transfer window, because everyone's going to think, well, we could go and spend like 50, 60 million on this player, but we could hold out a little bit and maybe we could offer him 40 mil for Cole Palmer, you know. But then the wages issue, like it might be fine that Chelsea accept an offer of like, say Conor Gallagher, for example, they accept an offer of 20 million for him. He's probably not on the highest wages at Chelsea, to be fair. But for example, he's been linked for a lot of Premier League clubs. Is he going to go? Is he going to be like, well, you know, I could just stay here. I'm captain. I'm playing every week. I'm getting loads of money. Why would I go to Palace or somewhere else?
Yeah, agreed.
It's mad, isn't it? Where like because this FFP thing, like it's more, you know, the way clubs advance now is by selling their youth players.
Yeah.
Because it's like pure profit,
isn't
it?
Pure profit, isn't it?
Which is. I don't think, I mean, it's just a mad way of forcing a business to run, isn't it? Like, but anyway, that's where we are for now. Hopefully
they
change.
I'm just looking at Chelsea's bench. I don't know who five of them are.
Well, but they'll all leave at 30 million a pop somehow.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
it's annoying. But, you know.
Just one of the best, just like the best centre half of our generation sat on the bench. Like, but he is showing his age, I'll give him that.
I mean, I assume Potter has realised, like, you may as well look at what else you've got because he's not going to be around forever. But
yeah. He said he's going to the season,
eh? He'll probably retire, won't he?
MLS. He's got MLS written all over him.
Or Saudi.
Yeah, or Saudi.
Anyway, who cares about Chelsea?
Well, not me. Elsewhere, Nottingham Forest drew 1-1 Crystal Palace. I don't want to spend a load of time on this because it probably wasn't one of the purists particularly.
What was Dean Henderson doing?
Being Dean Henderson.
Yeah, don't get me wrong, it's a good header from Chris Wood, but you don't get lobbed with a header when you're a yard off your line, do you?
Well, you shouldn't. I wouldn't have thought, but here we are.
Especially when the player who lobbed you is a yard in front of you.
It was a good job they drew, really, to be honest.
Well, as you said earlier, like I mean, no one down there is winning, and this is a type of game where if you're Forest, you're looking at this being like, well, it's home against the bottom half side who've got very little to play for. Finish 1-1, like it's kind of. Well, and obviously Forest, as you mentioned earlier, have been charged with 4-point deduction. They are desperately trying to appeal it, but it seems to be like a bit of a lost cause, because then it was already reduced from, was it 8 we're going to get, or 6?
6.
six, but because they were good little boys and gave up the book straight away and stuff.
Not like those little rascals.
But as I said earlier, like, they're still no better off, really. Luton can't win, which we'll come on to, but another team who can't win, Sheffield United 3, Fulham 3. Sheffield United led 4-1 at one point in this game and ended up drawing 3-3. Explain that.
Oh, brilliant, isn't it? Ollie McBain that, as well.
That well, Muniz's goal, though. What a way to steal the points.
Like I said last time we were on, like, has anyone checked his piss? Because this is insane. Like, I can't remember.
Well, he's the top scorer in this in 2024.
This year. Really. Yeah.
Yeah. Is it 8-8?
Incredible. Just scores all kinds of goals. And this was a overhead scissor bastard in the 93rd minute because
he hit the bar twice in this game as well.
Yeah, he's all action, isn't he? But yeah, as I said, Sheffield United inexplicably became unplayable for 10 minutes and scored 3 goals. Ben Burton Diaz with 2, McBurney, of course, with the other. In between all that, Joel Pellini equalised, and then Sheffield United had a goal disallowed, which would have been 4-1. But instead, Dico Dover Reed and the boy Muniz in injury time, of which there were 15 added minutes. Post-match, did you hear Chris Wilder talk?
Unfortunately,
no, I didn't actually.
Fortunately, not.
Has he always been that brummy? I thought
he's got Sheffield.
That's what I thought.
From Sheffield. I know we all sound the same to you, Dave.
Well, that's it. I heard him talk, like, that didn't sound like his normal voice, but maybe it was.
I just try not to listen to him because he's a prick.
Well, it's because you're eating a sandwich at the time and you know how he feels about that. So.
He's from Stocksbridge.
Well, either way.
That sounds very northern.
He's got a very like squidgy face, hasn't he? Where like everything's.
Joe, when he was first in the Prem, I used to like him.
I mean, those overlapping fullbacks, overlapping centre halves.
So we had a right laugh about that. Overlapping fullbacks.
He was quite endearing.
He was.
He's just a prick, isn't he?
We always make this mistake with
South-faced bastards,
isn't he? Newly promoted managers who come up and play the game their way, and you think, you know what, this guy's different. And then they win a few games and they become fucking walking out like Steve Austin. Like, it's just unnecessary. But either way, they took a step closer to relegation by throwing away a 2-goal lead. So
3-goal lead.
Sorry, a 3-goal lead. Idiots. Back at the top end, well, game that affects both ends of the table, Tottenham came from behind to beat Luton 2-1. Tanis Chong opened the score, and he's in good form at the minute. That was after 3 minutes. Tottenham huffed and puffed and managed to hit both posts with one shot, if you saw this, which is impressive.
Yeah, Son, wasn't it? Yeah.
Brendan Johnson came on at half time and seemed to change the game somewhat, set up both goals, if I'm not mistaken. One was an own goal where I know it was a good ball in, but I'm not really sure Kabore had only one option, which was to boot the ball into his own net, as he did. And then Son got the winner for him in some time. Chris, I know you love Tottenham very much.
Fuck off.
Are they actually any good? Like, it's
no, there's your answer. Let's move on.
Well, let me ask you this. Like, let's say they finish fourth or fifth and it's enough for Champions League football next season. Can they sustain playing the way they play now across, you know, multiple games in a week?
I would love them to go into the Champions League next season and get the group that you lot got this season.
Well,
and then we could watch Ange get fucking bummed week in, like every Wednesday. It'd be fucking brilliant.
Well, there's more games as well next season in the Champions League. They'll get to see them.
Oh, yeah, it's even better.
Get multiple bummings potentially. So
you know, when they're getting bummed by when they're getting bummed by Carabag and all of that, fucking let's go.
Fucking hell.
I'll sign up for TNT Sports right now to watch that happen. I don't pay for it to watch Arsenal.
Brilliant. I was just saying...
I don't think they're very good at all. Like,
I was just thinking of this yesterday, where Tottenham went out of both cups. First stage of the Carabao, they lost to Fulham on possibly pens, can't remember. And the second, or the fourth round of the FA Cup, but their second round, I think it was, Man City. That'd be right.
I just feel sorry. You know, they've got the best manager in the Premier League, and
but they're going to play like 41 games maximum this season, which is mad. So low, really.
They won the Premier League in October, Dave.
They did, yes. They won those five
games. They've had nothing to play for since.
They won those five games and never been the same since.
Yeah.
Fuck them. But
fuck them and their toilet bowl shaped stadium.
Well, they kept themselves in the hunt anyway for Champions League places. I'd agree with you. I don't think they're particularly good, but I think teams get overwhelmed by the way they play. And if teams just take a step back and play properly, then it would be a different story many weeks. But anyway, into the evening games, there was two evening games. Wolves were the only team not to score on Saturday. They went to Aston Villa and lost 2-0. Chris, I know you've got a finger in the Wolves pie, so to speak.
I didn't actually watch this one.
Oh well, never mind.
They dominated the first half.
They did, and Simon was very upset on Twitter. Gary O'Neill dared point that out. He was like,
"Yeah, they're saying that." I didn't want to say anything.
Well, he won't listen to this. He's too busy. He's probably at Elton John's house as we speak.
Yep.
Not doing anything untoward. Just visiting a celebrity friend.
did Consa mean he's gone?
Well, that's what I was about to ask. Did he mean this? He claims he did. Bollocks, I'll say.
Did he bollocks?
No, he didn't. Did he fuck?
He's just stood it up, innit, and it's just gone in.
Well, I think so, yeah. Ollie Watkins went off with a minor hamstring strain. It'll be fairly critical, I would say, if he got a big injury at this point in the season, would you agree?
Yeah, I think that's that would be big if he did. And you've got City next.
Yeah, I mean, City away. I know City are missing a few defenders at the minute, but as we'll come on to, they're obviously still very strong in that area. I don't think that. I think if there's a game you want to miss, it's probably that one, in terms of you're probably not going to win anyway. But
just take the hiding and move on.
Well, hiding. Well, I mean, I don't know, they beat them at Villa Park, but I'd be surprised if they managed to repeat it at the Etihad. But
I agree.
The final game of the Saturday night was Brentford 1, Manchester United 1. Now, this was truly a ridiculous game of football.
Saturday night comedy again. It's great, isn't it?
And what I find ridiculous about this is that Brentford had 30 odd shots on goal. And it took a 99th-minute equaliser to snatch a point. When
it was their last shot.
Well, they could have won this game for three or four times over. Man United truly made a deal with someone a long time ago. This is what annoys me, right? West Ham had 4 shots on target against us and scored 3 goals, right? And that's probably our fault to a degree. But the look that Man United carry in every game,
31 attempts.
Like, Ivan Tony's barely missed a shot in his time in the Premier League, I would say. Like, his finishing has been extraordinary for a number of seasons now. And yet here, he couldn't hit a cow's arse for no reason other than it was against Man United. Like, it's just, there's no logic to how this happened.
Didn't they would work, like, 5 times?
Oh, probably. Like, it's just,
there was one save from Onana, which was all right, but apart from that, I don't remember him doing much.
Yeah, I think he only made maybe 4 or 5 saves, and 2 of them were in the same move when they had that shot that I think he saved up, and then the rebound was also saved, and it was like, well, aye, great. Go on, Carl, I was going to say about Mason Mount.
Go on.
No, Mason Mount's still alive and scored. Forgot he exists.
I was going to say that. And I was going to say, I don't know why teams or managers don't look at that Lindelof and go, see him, run at him.
Yeah, run.
See him, that Swedish kid there, run at him dead quick. He is useless.
Do you enjoy Alan Smith's line on commentary where, with, I believe, entirely seriousness, he said, "Fool, if it's a good job Harry Maguire came on at half-time, or else it could have been even worse for Man United." I was like, what? How did you deduce that? they would have had 62 shots if it wasn't for him.
Well, with all due respect to Slabhead, he has actually been one of the
players. I don't think he's terrible by any means. I mean, he's not a Man United player, which has always been his problem, but I don't think he's anywhere near as bad as gets made out, because in the Premier League, he can head the ball, which is like 80% of the game's covered. And yes, you know, granted, in a foot race, probably would get beaten by most players, but, you know, don't make it happen. I don't know. Man United are terrible. I can't believe they're sixth. Like, I know we're talking about...
It's mad. It is mad that they are technically still in the hunt for Champions League football.
I don't think I've ever seen them play the season and, like, being like, whoa, impressive performance from them today. Like, every time they win, I mean, obviously, Carla beat you, what was it, 3-0, 3-1 at your place?
3-0.
And even then, you had a spell where you absolutely battered them. Like, how you didn't score in that game, I'll never know. And it just feels like it happens every week, where they just somehow skate by, not conceding from swathes of pressure.
Yeah, the Goodison game, they just scored that overhead kick, and then that's the end, basically. The United... at Old Trafford, we just gifted them two pens and it was game over. And we battered them both games.
You did, yes.
It was fucking strange. And we didn't even score. Oh, shock, Evan didn't score.
it's astonishing. I will be absolutely amazed if Ten Hag is kept in by Jim Ratcliffe and his pals.
I'm amazed he's still there.
I think they're probably just trying to get the end of the season and then they'll start making some decisions, but like...
Is it because they think, we could get into the Champions League, yeah? Are they keeping him? Is that it?
Surely not. They're 8 points away from it. There's no... I know it's not crap, but they're not going to
stay in that. You could get in at fifth this season, potentially?
Yeah, they're 8 points behind fifth.
Oh, are they? I know there were a few points off fourth, and I didn't think they were going to make fourth. I didn't think they were that far beyond fifth. But, I don't know. I can't think why he's still there.
Well, it can't be his performances. I mean, I suppose they're still in the FA Cup, so, I mean... And they're going to make the final, because they've, shock horror, drawn Coventry in the semis, so...
But the players don't look like they're playing for him at all.
No, they don't. No. I agree with that.
They do not look like they just look like they're not really that bothered.
I just, as much as I don't mind Marcus Rashford, he needs to leave.
Yes.
Badly.
He's stagnated so badly, hasn't he?
Yeah. He'll have this one good game, and then he'll just go shift for about 20, and then he'll pop up and score that goal against City, and everyone's like, oh, he's back, and just that stupid celebration that he does. And then you're like, oh no, he's good, isn't he? He needs to leave. He'd suit on like fucking Tottenham or something. Maybe not Tottenham, but you see what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, I think I wouldn't be surprised if he went to somewhere like Paris Saint-Germain or a place. And
PSG got a long interest in him.
Yeah, they've circled for a while, haven't they?
But at the same time, I imagine any new manager who would come in at Man United would fancy the chances of getting the best out of him. But who knows? Like, he's not been the same for a long time now, really, has he?
Yeah, exactly.
Right, let's do Sunday's games. Obviously, the top three, who are separated by very little, were all in action. Liverpool returned to the top of the table briefly with a 2-1 win over Brighton. We talked about this off-air, really, where... Brighton played some lovely football, as they always do, scored early on, and probably could have made more of some situations, didn't, and Liverpool grew into the game and just sort of got on top and probably should have won by more than 2-1 in the end. Any hot takes on this, Carl? I know Liverpool are close to your heart as ever.
It was same old, innit? I They're going to win the league, aren't they?
I mean, possibly. It's a pretty tight table, which we'll come on to just how tight in a minute. But they are...
I think they're in the top. I know the top, this sounds like a silly thing, but they're in the box seat, aren't they? I think, personally.
They're favourites now. I always think they're favourites. I don't know how, because I don't think they're very good, but their attack just gets them out of trouble all the time.
They haven't played well once when I've seen them play, and that's even more scary, to be honest. They play Sheffield United on Thursday.
Yeah,
they could put about 10 past them.
if they can be asked. I mean, they go to Old Trafford on Sunday as well, so...
See, that's the thing, like, Man United beat them in the cup, didn't they?
Yeah, but, I mean, Liverpool, one, should have had it won after an hour, and two, obviously, had the Bairns playing by the end. But
That's the only thing that's holding a lot of people back. They're saying, oh, I'm going to... Like, I think Gary Neville was like, I want to see what happens after next weekend as to whether they win the league. But they should batter them.
They should... I mean, Marcus, if you're listening, I take everything back down. I know he tunes in every week.
I'm sure he does. Oh, I wonder what these nice boys got to say about me this week.
Fucking idiot.
So that set up the last game of the weekend nicely, Man City and Arsenal. Everyone was salivating at this feast of football that lay before us. What instead happened was two... football nerds set out 8 centre-backs across between them, who unsurprisingly cancelled each other out in a 0-0 draw. Chris, I mean, I would say for Arsenal it's a good result, so I can't really criticise you how you got there, but what did you make of the game itself?
Well, first of all, I would just like to apologise to all our non-Arsenal Manchester City fans for not entertaining you all. I'm expecting the same from Sheffield United fans weekly for the next few years. I don't know why anyone was expecting anything any different. Like, I don't watch Sky, like, because I think the way they do their content now is designed for 5-year-olds.
It is poor.
I can imagine what it would have been like. The hype machine and everything like that, you know, like, I don't get why anyone was expecting some kind of 6-all thriller or something. I think the reason most people are disappointed is because Arsenal didn't get battered, because that's probably what people were more used to seeing. Because when Liverpool and Man City were going head to head for the Premier League title, this was the sort of result you were getting every time. Like, they were always like 0-0 or 1-1. They were always build up as being these big top of the table clashes, and they were shit games. I genuinely believe that this is a fucking shit game. This is the worst game of the season. The Premier League's boring because this is the football's gonna play. I think it's because everyone expected Arsenal to get pumped 3-4-1 like they usually do, and it didn't happen. And instead, I'd go as far to say, if you're gonna look at numbers, it won't support it. But I'd go as far to say that we were the better team in this game.
Shut up, Chris.
I think we had the better chances. Chances were few and far between.
I was going to say, chances plurals really pulling a bit there.
Exactly. They had one shot. You know, if it wasn't for Trossard tripping over his own feet, we probably should have scored. It wasn't a great game. It was a very good tactical game. I thought we were brilliant defensively. I thought, even though Man City didn't score, they were very scrappy defensively. Like, it was Sunday league in the first half at times. For both sets of players, like the amount of times I saw players just throwing themselves in the way of the ball, which is something you don't really see very often in the Premier League, unless you're watching Sheffield United, I suppose.
You love Sheffield United.
Fucking hate Sheffield United. when I was so angry when I saw they were winning on Saturday. I thought we were really good. I thought our defence was brilliant. I thought Man City, I'll be fair to Man City, like I've said on here a few times, I'm not a big fan of the way they play. I generally felt they looked more like a football team in this game. They actually looked like they were trying to play some kind of football. It wasn't all clinical. It was, you know, I don't think they were very good. And I think out of the, as ridiculous as it sounds, out of the top three, I think they are the team least likely to win the title. Which is ridiculous, because they are the sort of team that will go and win their next 9 games. I think it's out of Liverpool and Arsenal at the moment. But I think I think somebody's, I don't think it's all cut and dry. Like Liverpool fans were saying on Sunday night that they've won the league now. That was it. I don't think it's that tight. I think it was a good result for Arsenal. But the thing that stands out to me is that I felt disappointed that we only got a draw out of it, which is sounds unreal considering some of the results we've had there. And, you know, we haven't won there in, what, eight years since we got a point there?
That's bad, that, like.
Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous. You know, City haven't not scored at home in 57 games until then. I think,
Jesus Christ.
You know, that's a record, you know, for a team who, you know, just... They're not a team who just go over and steamroll everyone, but they are a team that win and score.
Yeah, they do.
You know, so I think a lot of that has not been taken into account a lot. But I am disappointed with the draw. Well, William Saliba was interviewed at the end of the game, and they asked him like how he felt. You know, you just got mad of the match, you kept a great game. He's like, we should have won it. Not happy with the draw, and I think that's the difference in our mentality now. And Arteta was the same. Arteta was like, yeah, no, I agree. Like, you know, we wanted to win this game. I feel that City were there for I'd say they were there for the taking, makes them sound like they were shit, but they weren't. But I think we could have been better, which is, again, totally insane. If you go back less than a year ago to this exact same fixture, we were top of the league. I went into it thinking, do you know what? We're playing some good football. We're top of the league. And they absolutely crushed us. You know, and we've been there and battered them. You know, we've had it at the Emirates. We've battered them and lost. I sat about thinking about it last night, thinking, I'm really disappointed we didn't win that game. And that sounds absolutely insane.
Well, I think what disappointed me from it as a neutral wasn't necessarily Arsenal, to be honest. It was the fact that Pep's got this fucking multi-billion-pound squad, and he's slowly but surely ruining several of the players. Like
Kovacic.
Well,
yeah, Kovacic was shocking.
But
yeah,
to take off Foden after an hour, and Foden is one of the more fun players in Man City team, but he hasn't been fully pepped yet.
He didn't do anything in this game.
Well, but he did in an attacking sense. Like Haaland, I would say Haaland was abysmal, right? Like,
Did you hear Roy Keane?
Yes.
call him a League Two
player. You know, several players weren't at it in this game. But he brought on Doku and Grealish, right? And it wasn't a game for either of those two because...
No, it wasn't.
Grealish was, again, great fun at Aston Villa. And now he bores me to tears because he gets the ball. He hasn't got the pace to beat anybody anymore, so he just comes back inside and passes it 4 yards.
He fell over a lot.
Oh, God, it's awful. And then Doku, who again came to the Premier League, oh, this guy's fun, he's fast, he's got tricks.
He looked wicked in his first couple of games.
Oh, yeah. And now he's just Grealish, but on the other side, or sometimes on the same side. Like, and it's just like, oh, it bores me to tears. Honestly, like...
It's too disciplined, isn't it? It's disciplined football.
It's too disciplined. It's too boring. And I just can't stand it. Like, I don't enjoy watching Man City play. The only team that ever have a good game against is Liverpool. And that's because it's Liverpool tend to go for games. I know Arsenal had played well here. Don't get us wrong. Well, for what the game plan was. But there's only Liverpool who I feel go toe-to-toe with them, which is possibly stupid, but they tend to do it. And everyone
that's
else.
That's the thing, right? A few people have said this in the media, is that they think that Arsenal's game plan was to have that match yesterday where they had 74% possession and everything. Odegaard came out and said, nope, that's not how we trained to play. We didn't train to play like that at all. We just had to adapt because they had the ball, which is something we've struggled with before, you know, coming in with game plan and not working and not having a plan B. But a lot of people seem to think that we went there to for a 0-0. And I generally don't think we did. I think it just played out that way, that we weren't on. They weren't at it. We weren't at it. And it just became a chess match.
Yeah, but, I mean, I know Odegaard says that, but, like, everyone goes there. He had a Man City have the ball all the time. Like, that always happens. Like, I mean, he's kind of deluded if he thinks otherwise. But there was three shots on target in the whole game. And that's... probably being generous. I don't remember ever really thinking good save or anything like that. I mean, are you a bit disappointed
that gave a keeper made a save?
Well, are you a bit disappointed that Arsenal didn't perhaps go for a bit more given how patched up City's back four was?
Yeah, one of the main things is I was kind of disappointed with, like, so Saka faded out of that game.
He started
quite brightly.
He wasn't fit, was he?
Yeah, you can tell he's not fit. I think we probably should have taken him off earlier, and then maybe it'd have been a little bit different. You know, get Martinelli. I think the idea was to bring. I knew Martinelli wasn't going to start it, but I think the idea was to bring him on late and have them stretch them. But I think we just left it. We just left it a little bit too late, and by then everyone had was blowing out their arse, really. Yeah. It's quite telling when two defenders were like the best players on the pitch. I thought Ben White was fantastic, and for them, I was really impressed by Gvardiol.
Well, I think he's dreadful,
but not for his defending. Like, he was their most attacking player.
he can't defend for shit.
He was putting in crosses from right wing, left wing. He was all over the shop.
I think Saka should have been running at him because I think he's terrible.
This is part of the problem with Pep ball, isn't it? Like, Guardiola was everywhere, right? Smashing, right? Why not just have Foden be everywhere? Like, why?
Or De Bruyne? You've got these amazing creative players and you've got a centre-back running around.
Now, what else annoyed was that Manuel Akanji said, in all, without a hint of irony, Arsenal were tactically fouling players off the... many miles from goal, and that annoyed him. Please, Manuel, when you and Marcus sit down and listen to this together, please watch back any of your games, because all you fuckers attack as a 10, and you leave one man back, and then when possession gets lost outside that was in the penalty area, one is, and half the other team is like, oh, that's 80 yards from goal, no card necessary.
He clearly doesn't listen to his manager's instructions, does he?
Oh, God. I mean, he played with Rodri. He must know what a tactical foul looks like.
Yeah, fucking hell.
Aye. Awful. From Man City. I would put the blame squarely on them because, as a home team, you'd expect them to make more of a go of winning this match. And they just didn't.
I was really surprised by them.
Very underwhelmed by the whole thing. When you've got Alvarez on the bench and doesn't come on, why would he?
Why would he?
Why would he? You need a goal. Ah, we don't need a goal. It's fine. Let's make it difficult for ourselves. bollocks to it. I did enjoy that tweet, though, where someone said Man United and Liverpool best have their succession plans in place because otherwise we've got like 10 years of this nerd ball to look forward to.
Yeah, but, I mean, this leaves, City 3 points behind Liverpool now, don't it?
Yeah, no.
I can't see Liverpool dropping points. Well, you know,
this is the thing, for all the top three, who could you see them losing to? And the answer is basically themselves. Like, I know Arsenal have got to go to Tottenham, which has got some spice to it, as always. I think Arsenal have got to go to Old Trafford, as to Liverpool. Man City have to play everybody. They've got, obviously Real Madrid over two legs to look forward to, but they've got Villa, as you mentioned, who actually aren't that far behind. That's how good a season they've had.
I didn't realise that Man City haven't beaten any of the top five this season.
Aye, yeah. It's,
not a single win?
No. So they've got Palace away on Saturday, which Palace have given them problems over the years. That was more when Zaha was at his peak and such, but... I doubt they'll lose there. Home to Luton, they won't lose that. Away to Brighton, not the easiest game in a few weeks' time. And then they've got Wolves, Fulham and West Ham to finish with. So I'm not certain they'll drop that many points. Chris, Tottenham and Man United are probably the biggest threats for you?
I'd say so. Yeah, I don't know. Villa, we got Villa at home. We generally do quite all right against. Chelsea raised their game against us in the first game. So, yeah, I don't know. I think whoever wins it now, they have to win 8 of their last 9, I think. Maybe even 7, maybe. But I think whoever's going to win it now has to go on one of those runs. And, you know, Man City, that's what Man City usually do. They've done it before and they could do it again. Liverpool, That's the thing. I don't know. I look at Liverpool and I think it's not very good, but they keep winning, which is great for them. And you know, so they could go and do it. They've got this whole emotional thing as well, haven't they? You know, Klopp dying of cancer or whatever it is he's got, and he's fucking
quickie.
He's not, but obviously you'd think he was. You know, but they, you know, so you've got all the emotion about that. You know, and yeah, I don't know. The way it is, we've seen all, well, apart from Man City, really, we've seen Liverpool drop points in games. Arsenal have dropped points in games. You know, our record against the top six is the best in the league. It's just that the reason we're not favourites at the moment is because we had that weekend where we lost to West Ham and fucking Fulham in the space of the week. Yeah, I don't know. Anything could happen. You know, Man United could be back next weekend. You know, probably won't be, but you know, Fulham have got to play both of them. They're actually not playing too badly, although they did concede three goals to Sheffield United. I don't know. And Tottenham have got to play all three of us. So,
it's interesting. You know,
Ange Ball could,
good job they're well rested, really.
Yeah, yeah. Well, to be fair, they've got 3 weeks off. Which I find ridiculous.
Oh, because they don't.
In April, they only play once. And we play four times.
Because they don't play 1 week for, mysterious reasons to do with games being rearranged.
Yeah, they were supposed to. I think they were supposed to play Chelsea, was still in the FA Cup.
Yeah.
And they were supposed to play Man City, which has been moved. Well, it hasn't actually been decided when that game's going to be yet. There is talk that it could be played in the run up to the Arsenal game. Because I think they've got like a 19-20-odd day gap there. But I think Man City will probably try and avoid that because obviously they've got Real Madrid either side of that. So.
Oh, well. It's going to be fun. Yeah.
But it could be good for... One thing that could be good for Liverpool as well is it potentially... I'm not getting ahead of myself. We could see an Arsenal-Man City Champions League semi-final in the run-in as well.
I mean, 180 minutes of that. Oh, yes, please.
Yeah, I know, yeah. So that's another thing that goes in Liverpool's favour, isn't it, I suppose? That if, you know, if that does happen...
The word could was doing some serious... Use a not getting through. Sorry.
Well, against Bayern.
Against Harry Kane's comedy Bayern Munich at the moment.
I don't think he will.
Oh, I don't know. Like, I just think Bayern's like a house built on sand at the minute. Like, the any sort of tricky game, they just can't get through.
I was going to say, Jadon Sancho had fun against them at the weekend.
They've lost that mentality, haven't they? Where just as soon as they're challenged by anyone, they just haven't got any sort of comeback. Like Dortmund.
Imagine what happens when you sign Eric Dier, innit?
Well, Dortmund ran through the weekend.
Fucking shite, isn't he? Anyway.
Aye, yeah, but it's bubbling up nicely. I'm looking forward to the end of the season now. All the international nonsense is out the way. It's just pure good football, really, between now and May.
I genuinely think there will be a shootout on the last day of the season. Like it will. I think at least two of the clubs will go into the last day of the season not knowing who's champions, which we haven't had for a long time.
So. Oh, I mean,
guess who Arsenal have got last?
I was going to say, I know
who Arsenal. Guess who Arsenal are relegating?
I know you'll be down by then, mate. It's all right.
Goodness
I hope you lose the league miserably, you little shit. And then Harry Kane scores an hat-trick both games. So, there you go.
Aye. Something to look forward to. Especially when when Aston Villa are Premier League champions in May and we've all overlooked them and they've made up the points difference.
God, I don't think I can deal with that. Give it to Leicester.
It's mad if Villa had beaten Spurs the other week, which obviously they got hammered in the end, but at home to Spurs, they'd probably fancy the chances. They'd be on 62 points. They'd be like two behind Man City, three behind Arsenal.
I know, that's mad if you think about that.
But they didn't.
It's
so.
Been a ridiculous season.
But he didn't. Sorry.
Never mind. But, I mean, it looks like England's going to get the five Champions League spaces anyway. Although, ironically, that Arsenal-Bayern match will go quite a way towards determinant because it's basically England and Germany who are scrapping for that, the coefficient thing to get the five places. So,
what's the tallies, as it were?
I think, obviously, West Ham battering Frankfurt or Freiburg. Freiburg, sorry. That tipped the scales in our favour. But
between us in Italy?
No, so Italy are already top and they look well set, and it's like us and Germany scrapping for the second one. Although I think Inter went out of the Champions League, which obviously hits their chances, and Leverkusen came back from the dead to get through against your mates Karabag, so that helps their chances as well.
So Liverpool have already won the Europa League or whatever it is they're in.
Who did West Ham draw? I feel like both English clubs got German clubs. Yes, West Ham
got by Leverkusen.
Who did Liverpool get?
Well, that's them out there.
Atalanta.
Not German, but still.
It's Italian, though.
It's Italian, yes. So coefficient Arama there. So that's just another exciting undercurrent for the stats fans to get involved with.
We only deal with facts and stats, remember, Dave?
We absolutely do. Speaking of which, it's a full round of Premier League games this midweek, which I assume Chris and his band of merry men and women will round up on the night they record. The highlights games, I suppose, we've talked about Newcastle Everton. West Ham Spurs is usually something to look forward to.
Funny.
Yeah, Arsenal have got Luton, which should be a routine home win. Liverpool.
Come on, the Gunners.
Liverpool are at home to Sheffield United, which should be a routine. You'd expect Man City have Villa, which, as discussed, Villa without Watkins potentially, and City without most of their back four. Who knows what'll happen there? And then you've got Chelsea Man United is the sort of picture game of years gone by, but two mid-table clubs now in it.
Yeah. United cementing their sixth place.
Can both lose? Like,
I mean, one could hope. Is it at Chelsea?
It's at Chelsea, yes.
Well, I don't know why you even asked that. It doesn't make a blind bit of difference, does it? Let's face it.
Well, it doesn't. I mean, honestly, that game could be any score whatsoever. You may as well just roll two dice and see what turns up, because that's what, I mean, there's no, like, form to the way either of them play. It's just, like...
I wouldn't be surprised if United won, to be honest.
Well, probably not, yeah. But...
That's it, then going to the weekend's game with a tail up.
You wish.
Before Mo Salah batters them single-handedly.
Yeah. Can't wait for that.
Aye, well, anyway, there's a lot to look forward to, is what I'm saying. We'll be back next Monday, so it'll be another two rounds of games to look forward to until we're back. Before then, though, Carl, where can people find you if they want to console you on Everton's plight?
Yeah, nice one, Dave. I'm still doing A to Z of players. I done Kevin Campbell last. It's a bit of light-hearted banter, you know. So I've got Letter D next, which should be out next week.
Good. Always a good read, so check that out, Carl. Chris, where can people find you?
You can find me everywhere at XIX, Blue Wolf XIX. Although I will say, if you are the sort of person who has a problem with Alex Scott presenting Match of the Day, but then will happily support fucking that Mark Chapman presenting Match of the Day too, don't fucking bother.
It's very, very specific beef there.
Oh, just, the discourse that she presented Match of the Day this week was absolutely ridiculous.
No, it's because she's an ex-gunner, though.
But... it's just the amount of shit she gets, considering she knows more about football than most of the men on. So who the fuck is Stephen Warnock, a pundit?
Oh, no, I switched it off, to be honest.
Like, it's absolutely ridiculous. But then, you know, everyone's like, oh yeah, it should be presented by people who know what they're talking. And yet, apart from this week, Mark Chapman, who isn't he famous for being fucking some? Isn't he for famous for being someone's friend on the radio or something?
It was Chappers and Dave, but Dave
Chappers
used to be on.
Chappers and Dave, yeah, he was Dave Ratcliffe's mate, you know?
Oh, God.
Is that the same person? It's probably not even the same person. He just knows fucking shit.
Right. Fair enough.
Thanks,
well,
Chris.
he looks like someone's dad has rolled into the Match of the Day studio.
Fuck.
Well, I mean, he is probably someone's dad, like, it's not...
I'm sorry if you're listening.
Him, Kanji, Rashford, they all listen, I'm sure.
They're all listening.
keep listening. Leave Alex Scott alone.
There you go. I mean, honestly, like, surely her rather than Janus, like, even the most sexist of people must prefer her to Jermaine Janus.
Oh no, you can't have a black. You can't have a black gay woman talking about men's football, Dave. It's not allowed.
All right, okay. That clears that up. That's the
rule of Baron. Though.
That clears that up. Thanks, Chris.
Right. Great. You can follow the show on X and Twitter, and X's Twitter, you know what I mean, at Man on the Post. We're also on all your favourite podcast places, from Acast, Amazon Music, and so on. Just look for Man on the Post, and you'll get our wonderful voices on your device of choice. Gentlemen, thank you ever so much for your time, as ever.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to you at home, and always remember to keep your man on the post. Yours now.